My name is Menachem Ben Judah. If you don't know me, and I'm a volunteer here at Hope Community Church. Normally volunteer with the worship band and in other areas. And as a volunteer, I'm always encouraged to see that we have so many people here at Hope Community that God has brought together that are serving with commitment. Amen. Like I'm always, because you know it's easy to do something that we might typically look at as having a little bit of flair and playing some music or something you might get accolades for, but sweeping a floor and mopping the floor, we don't always get the same sort of recognition and encouragement for those things that go on behind the scenes. But I know that God has brought so many of us together and such a wonderful team that knows about commitment and serving, and God has filled so many roles and needs because people are willing to do God's work. Amen. So give the whole team a hand clap. I'm so grateful for our sound and media, the worship team, everyone that's serving coffee and donuts, greeting people. We couldn't do any of this without all of the wonderful volunteers that we have at Hope Community. So I'm grateful for that. Now, Pastor Don asked a couple of us, Brian last week and myself this week, to come and share. And, as I told the first service, public speaking, for a lot of us can be pretty nerve-wracking. I'm no different. I feel those nerves. Anybody else? Get them right, so it's not just me. I'm not alone. That kind of helps knowing that I'm not alone in that. But when I have a guitar in my hands, some of us when we were little, we might remember having a teddy bear. Maybe even something that from the time that we were an infant, something that was in a crib with us or something there for comfort. Maybe whenever mommy and daddy weren't there holding us, there's something, and so. For me, sometimes a guitar is just like that. It's like a big wooden teddy bear sometimes. And this gives me, just to hold it, even if I'm not playing it, this right here, this feels more like me, And so when I have a guitar and I'm playing and if I have a song to share, something that I've written or something that someone else has written that's really impacted me, it makes a big difference for me, maybe not for you. You weren't expecting that. You thought I was going to play and sing a song, right? We often have expectations that people, and even the Lord doesn't always meet, and God doesn't have to meet our expectations. The things that we feel like are coming or that we want to see happen, God is not bound to meet every expectation. Often our expectations are not the right expectations. Amen? Yeah. And so some of you, if you know me or if you've been here and you know that I serve on the worship team, and even if you don't, you saw the guitar in my hand. Here I am talking about being passionate about playing music and singing. You thought a song was coming, but it didn't happen. There was also another group of people who had an encounter with God himself, and they had their own expectations. God oftentimes doesn't meet our expectations in the way that we think that God will. God surpasses our expectations in many ways because God is boundless. But it's not always what we expect. So over the past few weeks, Pastor Don started with a new series. I think we had that up on the screen there. But we've been going through the book of Isaiah, the hope of new creation. And so last week, Brian shared with us a wonderful message about hope. But it started in a place where Brian even shared with us that was a very difficult and kind of a dark place to be thinking about being hopeful in a place that's often hard to find joy. Maybe, have you ever been experiencing something in life, or maybe you're going through something right now where it's not really easy to see why we should be hopeful, or it's sometimes hard to find joy in our circumstances, right? We all at some point in time in life go through something where it is extremely difficult to find hope and experience in the way that we want to, and to be able to find joy if we're just looking at our circumstances. That is a very difficult but a very necessary message for us. And I appreciate that Brian took the brunt of this, and he started with the hard stuff. Because today I've got the easy good news, that we like to hear, right? Because oftentimes we find ourselves in a place where it's like, man, when is this gonna end? I can't catch a break. Somebody give me a hand. So I've been fortunate to be able to deliver that message today. So thank you, Pastor Don, for the easier assignment. and I'll echo another piece of Brian's message from last week. I'm not Pastor Don. We'll just leave it at that. If you know, as they say. Or you can, make your little acronym with that they share online. If you know, you know. All right. So you had these expectations. They were not met. Now what? Right? Maybe somebody was frustrated. Maybe not. Maybe if you've heard me play and sing, maybe you wanted me to. Maybe you didn't want me to. Maybe you didn't want to hear a song. But you had some sort of expectation, and it wasn't met, most likely. So I want to start with reading a passage of Scripture. And if you would, please, just stand for just a moment, if you're able, for just a moment. Coming from Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed." You may be seated. See, I told you it was good news. Like, that's what we're all waiting to hear. At any given moment, any idle Tuesday morning, you're like, yes, please somebody tell me that there's good news to the poor, that there's somebody that's going to comfort my broken heart, somebody that's going to proclaim that I am going to experience some release and some freedom. Amen? Yes. Again, thanks for the easy assignment. So the word fulfillment is something that I want to focus on today. And the word fulfillment is defined by Oxford Language as the achievement of something desired, promised, or predicted. Again, the achievement of something desired, promised, or predicted. God desires an intimate relationship with you and with me, with each and every one of us. God has desired an intimate relationship with you. And God has promised victory. I don't care what it is that you're going through, what you've been through. If it seems impossible, it doesn't matter. God has promised you victory through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And God has predicted the outcome, not just in the book of Isaiah and the prophecies that are fulfilled from the Old Testament in the time of the New Testament, but God has predicted the outcome of your circumstances as well, that victory that you have in Jesus. I don't know about you, but myself and a few other people that I've come across, there have been times when I have felt empty on some level. We've probably all felt some sort of emptiness. You can't catch a break, as if the whole world is against you, and you feel nothing but defeated, right? I'm not the only one. Like, this room is probably full of people who have felt that on some level at some point in time in life. But God has promised us a victory. And he's given us the good news. So in chapter 61, of Isaiah. We're going to read through some more here. I'm going to go down through here, and then we're going to revisit some. But I'll read this passage. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim the captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. Foreigners will be your servants. They will feed your flocks and plow your fields and tend your vineyards. You will be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God. You will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be recognized and honored among the nations. Everyone will realize that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding, or a bride with her jewels. The sovereign Lord will show his justice to the nations of the world. Everyone will praise him. His righteousness will be like a garden in early spring, with plants springing up everywhere." The Bible is the most powerful and the most intriguing text book that you will ever encounter in life, hands down. Amen. Amen. It is. And the Bible, it is a work of art even to a non-believer. You cannot look at God's word and go through the Bible and not be intrigued and moved by the powerful nature of the text. There are parallels and there are prophecies hundreds of years before they ever came to pass that we see between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, for those of you who were able to attend recently with us in our collaboration with First Baptist of Oxford Church, they've been kind enough 2 years in a row now to let us use their facility and collaborate in sharing in a Passover Seder meal. And what that is, if you have never been a part of one, is where we go over the rituals and the practices that the Jews went through and still do to commemorate the very first Passover, when God's Spirit passed over the houses of the Israelites and yet did not over the firstborns of the Egyptians. And so this is also the exact thing that was happening when Jesus called the disciples together and said, "I have eagerly awaited to meet with you, to dine with you, and share in this." And then what happens from there next is where we get our communion and taking of the Lord's Supper, okay? So that's the context of what we're doing whenever we have those Passover Seder meals. And we always talk about parallels. The main ones that we touch on are the fact that we have the Passover lamb, which is an actual literal lamb that is taken, it has to be by, according to the law, a unblemished male lamb. They take that lamb, and it's to be slaughtered. There will be bloodshed. But first, they take the lamb inside the house, right? So, I mean, you know, maybe some of you grew up on a farm and you're used to being around animals, but you probably had a barn or something, or maybe, you know, some animals that might have been mostly free range, you know. You probably didn't bring them inside the house with you to live. Maybe you did. Some have pets. But most of the time, that is at least out of the ordinary, right, to have the lamb come in. Nonetheless, this unblemished male lamb was taken into the house to dwell with the household prior to the sacrifice of the lamb. And then come the 14th day of Nisan, that lamb was to be sacrificed. Okay, so number one of these parallels, we have Jesus, our Passover lamb, who was without sin and unblemished. He comes and dwells within us, within this house, within each and every one of us. And it was, in fact, on the same 14th day of Nisan on the Hebrew calendar that Jesus was sacrificed on the cross for you and for me. Even for a non-believer, it is intriguing that this order of history, that there was a prophecy, and the prophecy was fulfilled, and all of these dates and times, all of the stars in the heaven that God put in place, that everything aligned and that it was preordained. Amen? So the Bible is the most powerful and intriguing text that any of us will ever encounter. Some parallels that I want to talk about today as we go through the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah have in common with Luke chapter 4. So the very first verse of Isaiah 61 says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," just as the very first verse of Luke chapter 4 says, "Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit," and then in Luke chapter 4, 17 and 18, it says, "The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." So again, we have these parallels. Some of them are obvious, some of them maybe not so obvious. But if you will get in the habit of getting into God's Word, I promise you that you will not leave unchanged. You will not leave unchanged. The Word of God changes you. And you will see these parallels, and not just from one chapter to another, but you will see the parallel in your life. You will see that God is speaking to you on an individual basis, that God is preordaining things and placing people into your life and positioning you and others for things that no one can orchestrate but God. Amen? And so, just to kind of put into context this next passage that we're going to go through here in Luke chapter 4, at this point in time, Jesus has already been baptized by John the Baptist, and those that were there witnessing what happened when Jesus was lowered into the water and brought back up, they saw and they heard from the Spirit of the Lord. And those words, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And so not only was there something, you know, that they experienced that, okay, this guy, he's performing signs and wonders, and so he must be the Son of God. There was a physical manifestation of the Spirit of God that they were able to witness with their eyes coming down and descending upon him, and they were able to hear with their ears what was happening. And so there were people that were professing all throughout those lands of all these great things that they witnessed in the presence of Jesus. And so continuing on here from verse 16. "So he came to Nazareth," this is Jesus here, "where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." So here Jesus is, full of the Holy Spirit, as we see in the 61st chapter of Isaiah, and then also in Luke 4, verse 1. And then he's been invited to come and speak at his home congregation in the synagogue, and everyone has expectations, right? They have these expectations. They've been hearing rumors that Jesus is not just a wise prophet and rabbi, but that he's also performing signs and wonders that they're not seeing from anyone else. So you better believe they have some expectations, right? And so it says, he grabs the book, he opens it, the scroll, and he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. Just like that. Closed it up. Said, "Here you go." And he sat down. Now, this is the first place, or rather the second place maybe, where people are thinking, okay, this is not what I expected. Because first, they've got to be reeling from the fact that he said, "This prophecy is fulfilled in your presence today." Right? And I don't know exactly what each person was thinking or feeling. I can, you know, offer some conjecture and, you know, just some guesses as to what each and every one of us might have been thinking. Some different possibilities there. But then after he does that, he closes it up and sits down. Or maybe my expectation of what happened is wrong. Maybe he sat down because just as we did, we stood up together to read God's word. He did that. And then he decided, okay, I'm going to sit down. We're going to be in a relaxed state here. You know, we're all family here. And so he sits down. All right. And then he continues to not meet their expectations in a wonderful and beautiful way. And so it says, "Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him." Just like everybody's staring at me, and I can feel every time that I have to do public speaking. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" It sounds to me like everything's going great here, right? They marveled, you know, they're amazed, they're excited because they've heard all these rumors of what Jesus is doing, that he's performing signs and wonders, and that he carries with him a wisdom that no one has seen, that no one has heard as he shares God's word. And everything is going great here, right? I feel like things are going okay for us too, right? Are we good? All right. But then, just like right now, I could choose to walk out that door, you know, and then I really wouldn't, you know, meet your expectations, right? And that might not be so great. But at this point in time, I have the ability, just like Jesus did, to make a choice in which direction this conversation's going to go. And so what God chooses to do is not expected. And this is what happens. He said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country.'" And then Jesus says, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months." You talk about despair. You don't hear from God. You're used to receiving, and you go through 3 years, knowing that you're a part of this group that is God's chosen people, and you go through 3 agonizing years. And it says here, "When the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine," to add to it, "throughout all the land, but to none of them was Elijah sent." So there was a prophet there, someone who, you know, everybody just assumed you're on good terms with God, right? So come on, man, help us out here. We're in a famine. You know, it's been 3.5 years. But none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, something's changed. Everything was going great. They marveled in amazement. Everybody was there to welcome this hometown kid back who's moving up in the world, doing great things, sharing his wisdom of God's word. But it says here, all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. I won't spend a lot of time talking about that part where he just, you know, went through their way. But, I mean, there's a sign and wonder, right? You got a whole mob, and then you got one person, and he passes through them. All right. You guys didn't get it, you know. You were thinking one thing, but no, it was another. They got strength in numbers, right? And he just passes through the crowd and goes on his way. One more passage of scripture I want to share here, quoting the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. These are Jesus' words. Everybody, if you will, say with me the word fulfillment. Fulfillment. Okay. So I want to do something just to hopefully help us, remember this. If no longer than just throughout this week. Anybody else struggle with memory? Right. Remember? Yeah. So when I say a word, then you're going to respond by saying fulfillment. Okay. So I'll say a word, and then you'll say
fulfillment.
Awesome. You guys are a great class. Follow directions well. Lawful.
Fulfillment.
Isaiah.
Fulfillment.
Prophetic.
Fulfillment.
And spiritual.
Fulfillment.
The law reveals God's standard, one that none of us are capable of meeting. So I know for a fact that in a room this size, a large percentage of us have already had that thought, if we're not thinking it today, that I don't feel like I can do what God's law asks me to do. And you're right. You can't. But that's okay. The law reveals God's standard, but Jesus fulfills God's standard. Amen? That's the good news. I mean, if you want to hear it in a nutshell, that would be one way that we could describe the good news, is that Jesus fulfills the law. We couldn't. He can. Amen? And so, just like I said, as another way to kind of help us remember this throughout the week, we have law, letter L, Isaiah, the letter I, prophetic, the letter P, and spiritual, the letter S, which all together spell
bliss.
Perfect. Great class, as I said. I use that to say that if it comes from the mouth of God, you can take it to the bank. You can count on it, because God's promises are yes and amen. And the Spirit of God is a spirit of fulfillment. A spirit of fulfillment. Jesus came to fulfill the law. God's Holy Spirit has come to fill us. And the words of the prophet Isaiah were only fulfilled because God the Father, in his great love for us, chose to send his only Son to be sacrificed on the cross for us. Just as we read in the book of John, that he so loved the world that whosoever believes in him would have everlasting life. Amen? And so, we as human beings, whether we're struggling with depression or feeling some sort of emptiness, sometimes a numbness, God is able to bring the fulfillment that we're longing for. There was a French philosopher, Pascal, who a lot of people attribute this idea and concept that has been written about by several authors, and some have called it the God-shaped hole, right, in our hearts. And it's just this idea that we have this innate phenomenon or this innate feeling or sense that there's something missing in our lives when we do not have God's Spirit and the indwelling thereof. And so, as we close today and the worship team comes, I want to share that that's something that the Spirit of God is here today to fulfill, just as every prophecy of the Old Testament was fulfilled, just as Jesus declared with that bold statement that in your hearing and in your presence today, these words have been fulfilled. The Spirit of God and that same spirit of fulfillment is the only fulfillment that we have. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you today. Thank you for every blessing seen and unseen. God, we thank you for being our provider that works out in the open where we can see the things that you are providing and that you are doing in our lives. And we thank you, God, for also working when we don't know that you're working. God, and for providing things that we don't even know that we need. For going before us, God, and placing people and things in our lives that you know we need. God, we thank you for being the only one who can fulfill us. Your spirit of fulfillment, God, is what we desire today. Your spirit of fulfillment, God, is what we need. God, I pray that each and every person under the sound of my voice right now would hear your still, small voice. That you would speak to them even in this moment, God, and as we go from here today, that you would speak to them and remind them that you are the spirit of fulfillment. That you are the answer to every problem, to every circumstance that we encounter. That you are Jehovah God, our provider. God, I just ask that you take every effort of every volunteer here at Hope Community and that you bless it, that you would just multiply it, God, that your spirit would use it and that we would only glorify you, Lord, to build your kingdom in Jesus' name.